Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, everybody. We're here with a couple programming notes for this episode. Unfortunately, we had a close-to-end technical snafu. Actually, we had two, didn't we, Tara?
Yeah, we did.
And we lost our entire first game time and the last couple questions of the second game time.
That we recorded to replace the first game time that got lost.
Yeah, game time just didn't want to come out and play today. So at the end of the game time, it'll just sort of cut off and we'll kind of wrap it up again. So Tara, I'm going to talk to you in about an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
You know, the human spirit has a remarkable capacity to recuperate. They taught us that the first year in dental school.
This is the Extra Hawk Right Podcast, episode 13 for the week of December 2nd. I am jukebox favorite David T. Cole, and I'm here with Summer of Deception, Sarah Bunting.
I hate you all. Never talk to me again.
Egg exchanger, Tara Ariano.
I want to exchange an egg.
And Serge Menken, artist, Jessica Morgan.
You are so precious to me.
Wow, remix.
Yeah, that is our new remix sweetened, as they say in the biz, by none other than friend of the show, Adam Blau.
Awesome.
Brother of other friend of the show, Dan Rogie Blau.
Indeed.
And I commissioned that from him. I felt like it was time to jazz up the place a little bit.
Not with actual jazz. Well, first,
it's very Battle of the Network Stars. I'm into it.
Yes, it really is. So before we get into it, Dave has some site business to take us through, but first, welcome Jessica Morgan.
Thank you for having me.
First time guest. Jessica, you will know as half of the Fug Girls of Go Fug Yourself. And Dave and I did not dress up at all for her visit, which is shameful.
But you both look lovely.
Well, thank you.
Tara, a couple weeks ago said that Dave, you dress like a cartoon character in that you always know I'm always wearing exactly the same thing, perhaps in different colors.
True.
And it really like hurt to the quick.
Oh,
like, it was just one of those things. It's totally true, and I'll own up to it, but it was just one of those things. There was a couple moments silence, and I looked down the ground and went, I don't even try anymore.
I'm sorry.
Oh, granimal.
Listen, you have a uniform. It works for you. It's fine. It worked for everyone in the Royal Tenenbaums. Why should you be any different?
Exactly.
You shouldn't.
All right, well, let's get some boring stuff out of the way first with some site business. Almost final reminder that our RSS feed for this podcast is changing. We set a date. It'll change over this Saturday, December 8th. If you subscribed via the iTunes store or Stitcher, everything should change over for you automatically, so you shouldn't have to do anything else. If you manually subscribed in iTunes or any other application, you'll need to update that. And the new URL is on the page for this episode on previously.tv or on the Extra Hot Great Information Experience page, which is in the More section of the nav bar on the site. Moving forward, there will be only one feed now for everything EHG instead of one for everything, plus separate ones for the main and mini feeds. That might be temporary, but we need to figure out a solution for the new way we're doing things, and that's probably not going to happen until January. So if you're on one of those crazy iTunes diet settings where it says like only keep the last three episodes, and you want to keep a week's worth, just bump that up to like 10 or something like that, and you'll be okay and you won't miss out on stuff if that is a concern. But we'll try to fix it and get it back to normal early next year. If you experience any problems during this process, I would first suggest unsubbing and then resubscribing. And then if the issue persists, you can email me at ehg@previously.tv and we'll figure it out.
And now on to the actual meat of this episode. The reason that we have Jessica here is because we are discussing the end of SoapNet. It's finally upon us. It's been threatened for literally years.
Literally years, like 2 years.
Maybe longer than that. I mean, I feel like, yeah, no, you're probably
no,
right.
It was, I think it was longer because I did used to freelance over there right. for my good friend and yours, Joe Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like after I closed my last sort of freelance account with them, which was like 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. that it was because they were narrowing down the staff and preparing to become another sports network or Nick Junior, like prenatal or whatever it's going to be now, which yeah. I don't think we've figured out exactly what will happen when it goes dark.
No,
and let me just say, you know, as the guy in the room who doesn't watch SoapNet, never has, mm-hmm. The pre episode chatter amongst yourselves and SoapNet was both a little sad and had some bewilderment mixed in. How did it last this long?
Yeah.
And where to now? And it kind of, makes me feel like if there was a good version of the science of sci-fi and that went off the air, I would feel the same way.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys were soap watchers in your youth, but I think that this was an idea that was out of time.
Yeah.
I think the best time for SoapNet would have been like the mid to late 80s when basic cable was really
yeah,
first
definitely.
Having its first quantum leap, especially for someone like me who deliberately picked a soap that aired at 3 o'clock, General Hospital, because I could not get the fucking VCR plus codes to work. And the girls in my class who could figure that shit out got to watch Days of Our Lives.
Right.
This bro was stuck with Frisco, which actually was fine. That's a whole other podcast. We're not going to get into it. Linda Holmes, you know what I'm talking about. Fist bump.
But yeah. It
would have been so great to know that they were going to rerun just a block of ABC yeah. stuff over the weekend, or that I could see it at 8:30 or something like that. And now it's kind of like, first of all, we don't have any soaps left, hardly. What are there, like two that are still on?
What are there? There's Days
and yep. GH, General yeah. Hospital is still on.
All My Children's Gone, right?
Tragically, All My Children is finito.
Is One Life to Live the other one that's hanging on?
Yes, I believe so.
So that's like
that's
one per original
yeah.
three networks.
It's really
oh,
sort
no,
of
no.
sad.
Bold is still
oh,
on.
Oh, Bold
yeah?
and Beautiful.
Oh, sorry.
It's only half an hour, I believe.
What about That's Young true. And the Restless? Is that still a thing? Because that was the one when I was in high school that everybody watched.
I also watched I that know. One periodically. It's amazing how you would like become friends with someone mm-hmm. or you would go to visit your grandmother for a couple weeks and then you would like take on their soap
totally.
Yes. qualities.
But it was very much like there's such brand loyalty to soaps. Like our family's soap, the one that even my great-grandmother watched was Another World, not All My Children. Another
oh,
World.
You were the ones. Okay.
Didn't you watch it too? I thought you did. I thought that
no,
was one of
that
yours.
That was, I think, a CBS soap, and we were strictly ABC
yeah.
household,
oh, okay.
except
no, this...
my grandmother, who was super into Days.
It was NBC. I think it would be like, it would go Days, Another World, Santa Barbara maybe was
oh,
after
yeah.
that. Santa Barbara was right. the one that was also big when I was younger.
Yeah, when we were in like junior high, Santa Barbara
Cause it
was
started
the
in,
shit.
It's because it premiered
yep.
in the summer.
Yeah.
Like they premiered it as soon as everyone was out of school.
Yeah.
It was like, that'll get the little SOBs, and it totally did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With a young Robin Wright.
We were in All My Children family.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went to college, my roommate watched Days, and that
yep.
was when Deirdre Hall was possessed by the devil the
of
first
course.
Time. So obviously we all watched that.
Right.
And then as an adult, I was really into Passions, of
oh,
course.
Of course.
Is that the really fucked
sure.
up one?
Yes. Into the point where I got a ticket for running a red light once because I was racing to get home to watch Passions.
I love that story.
The cop, I was like, he pulled me over and he was like, what are you doing? And I had this moment where I was like, I'm gonna go for this. And he's either going to think it's hilarious and let me go, or he's going to be totally unamused. And he was totally unamused. I tried.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Were you doing the equivalent of like the pee dance, you know, because you're just like, we gotta get this going. Passions is starting.
Well, I mean, there was a lot going on in Passions.
Yes,
people
always.
We're literally in hell with like Hitler walking around in the background and Mussolini. It was really good. I regret nothing.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. And I remember when that one ended, that was sort of like, that was the beginning of the end for soaps, I think.
Well, and it went to DirecTV for like a season, right. Passions did, but no one really watched it, which is a shame because there was this whole plot line where Julian Crane, who is like the evildoer, had his penis removed.
Sure.
And then it got sewn back on.
Right.
But it was sewn back on by an alcoholic.
So God.
She sewed it back on backwards.
Oh, no.
And before...
Wait a minute.
How alcoholic do you have to be?
Yes.
Was she also Ray Charles? Come on.
Well, so, she had a lot of problems. So before they could fix it...
You mean upside down? Or backwards?
Like, upside down,
like
I guess.
Head in?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like upside
okay.
down.
That's what I sorry. I'm sorry. To be crass.
The whole
Passion
plot
started
line,
it.
The whole plot line was when he was waiting like 2 weeks to have it redone... He couldn't get an erection or it would kill him. This
oh,
was an
no.
actual plot line.
Oh, my God.
So there would be, like sexy nurses in the right. bed next to him giving sponge baths.
Uh-huh.
It was amazing. So,
oh
yeah.
My God.
That was, like, the final death
holy
blow
moly.
Of Passions.
Wow.
This is what we're losing, America.
Yeah. It's really... But, does there any sense of, like, do either of you as... I guess you probably haven't watched soaps in a long time, Jessica, or you either, Sarah. Have you? But I was just going to ask if you went with any of the ones that went online, if you checked them out. Yeah, I don't know
no,
if that's
no,
going to
that
work.
Sort of long ago fallen off with that.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking when we were talking about. Remember when we were talking a few weeks ago about American Horror Story and how Ryan Murphy has a repertory company and basically just shuffles the deck of actors and assigns them to roles. The entire sort of soap acting community. Has been doing that. Like entire characters will show up on an entirely different network. Like if you look at the commercials, I'm sure you fast forward through them, but I don't always when I'm watching 90210 and SoapNet.
Yeah.
And like Anna Devane and Robert Scorpio and
totally,
all these
yes.
characters from when I was in grade school are still playing these same characters and they kind of look basically the same. Like Anna Devane in particular.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
And what are they going to do now?
What are they going to do now? They have to hope that Lifetime comes up with some, like, I feel like Lifetime might kind of step in and give some of these people jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Like, I hope
yes.
so.
Like,
Witches
Susan Lucci.
End, Anna Devane would be great on
totally.
That.
Totally. And Susan Lucci's on TV's Maids now. So
yes.
Susan Lucci, thank God, is fine.
Yes. She was always going to be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. I mean, Carolyn Hennessy has got her recurring role on Cougar Town, so she's fine too.
Deirdre Hall, someone is going to get Deirdre Hall a job.
She's just going to start a wig line. She'll be fine.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Doesn't that seem?
Yes.
She probably already has.
She
I might not
does.
Have just made that up.
And it'll be like a Kmart exclusive, correct?
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> But do we still, I mean, but the thing is like, the argument, I guess, against SoapNet is, you know, do we still need all rerun channels? But I watch all rerun channels all the time.
I say... Well,
no, me too.
Yeah. Well, no one think of the people who work from home, like
Seriously.
Freelance writers.
Yes.
Heather and I, when we wrote our first book, by some like chance of fate, we started working on it when SoapNet was showing the pilot of 90210.
Oh, boy.
We watched
That is
all,
a beautiful good omen.
Yes, right?
That is
yes.
such a lucky star.
We
really.
Watched all of 90210 to the end. I watched it every single day. So like think of the freelance writers at home who need a little Brandon Walsh.
Yeah.
And hands
and I
up,
I think they're missing. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, hands up, how many people own certain shows on DVDs, but really only watch them when they're on TV naturally,
yeah,
right?
Completely.
I mean, how many box sets of The Simpsons were sold never to actually be played because you just watch
what's
on Fox at 6 o'clock?
And you got to physically get your ass up and go to the player?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Or even video on demand, too, all that searching through Netflix or whatever, where it's just like, I'll just wait. You know, 10 minutes is going to be on TV. We'll just see what happens.
Yes.
And there's something thrilling. I think it's like, it's so much more exciting when you hear your favorite song on the radio than if you play it. It's like if you turn on SoapNet and it's I Hate You Both, Never Speak to Me Again, that's the most exciting thing.
It's really true. Yeah, recently I discovered that WE TV shows a 3-hour block of Will and Grace in the afternoons. Jessica just made a face like
it's
this
exciting.
Is new information.
I did not know this.
Two to five if you have DirecTV.
I do. This is exciting.
There you go. That's, and it's, and then on Tuesdays, it's, there's another three more hours from 5 to 8 of different episodes.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That's the right amount. The only problem is that now it starts, this rock block starts right around the time that I used to go to the gym. And so now it's a lot of like, I can't get sucked into this Will and Grace.
No.
Because I won't go.
It's true.
But they already showed the Matt Damon one last week and I recorded it. So it's okay. Now I can have that on my DVR forever. But anyway, Sarah, you were saying?
Well, it just made me think, first of all, of John Ramos, Couch Baron, tweeting over the weekend that he doesn't usually even watch Law & Order, mm-hmm. but if he has to check out of his hotel in the middle of an episode, it pisses him off.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yes. Totally. But I think they're missing an opportunity. I thought it was a pretty well-curated blend mm-hmm. of stuff.
Like I agree.
One Tree Hill, 90210, but I think they could really make some advertising hay with some nostalgia.
Yeah.
Entries like the, you know, Frisco Jones WSB escapes from a Bulgarian prison.
Yes, anything with a Bulgarian prison.
It took
him
like 6 months to get home, but they could just recut it and it would be a Glory Days of the 80s thing and mm-hmm. all of Jack Wagner's songs on the show. And
yeah,
I mean, it would just be horribly embarrassing to watch and contemplate that this was my number one crush for like 5 years.
Wait, but Jack Wagner from Wonder Woman, that guy?
No, that's Lyle Wagner.
Lyle Wagner, thank you. well, correct me if I'm wrong. Lyle Wagner from Wonder Woman kind of fits the profile for a Sarah crush.
Yeah. He's a handsome man kinda. As well. Yes.
All right, so leaving, obviously, Beverly Hills 90210 is the SoapNet syndicated show we will all miss the most, I assume.
Yes.
What else? Are you holding out any secret hopes that any of the other shows will migrate to other channels?
Well, for me, SoapNet lost, for some reason, the ability to reshow Melrose Place a couple years ago.
Right.
And
yeah, what the hell?
I don't know, but I really need more Michael Mancini on my television. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like my holdout. That some I've often said, why isn't there like some station that's all spelling all the time?
Oh my God.
That would be the best channel ever.
It would be the best channel ever.
Think about it.
Dynasty.
90210.
Charmed.
Knott's Landing.
Melrose Place.
Charmed.
Models, Inc. Hello.
Models, Inc. Yes.
Yes.
Cassidy Ray.
That show ended with a woman stuck in a Mexican brothel. And someone falling off a balcony. Like, come on.
Yes. Yes. Agree. I absolutely agree. And even if it wasn't a whole channel, which is maybe too good an idea to be true. Although, I mean, was it Life? No. HGTV had that. Did you watch the Candy Spelling remaking her? Buying her penthouse show that was on for a while?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm sorry to ask you that. That's insulting. Of course you watched.
Yes, come on.
So did I from start
obviously.
To finish.
The woman had a gift wrapping room. I need to be in.
How hard would it be for her to go to someone at Scripps and say, I still have the rights to all these shows? I mean, I'm sure she doesn't have all the rights, but she probably has some. Like, she probably still has the power to get it on the air again. Whoever
I
the
bet
rights
this
holders
has been
are.
Proposed, and it's some scuffle between her and Tori with the.
Fucking Tori, figure your shit out.
Tori doesn't have anything.
Yeah, stop hosting crafting shows. It's not for you.
I just read, this is embarrassing, Tori's latest book, and she didn't get anything. She got like 0.19% of the spelling
what
fortune.
What did Randy get?
Probably the same. Candy got everything.
That's why her apartment's so nice.
Yeah, and why Tori like is on the crafting channel all the time.
That's true. But even if they, like, some channel, I have to think, has room at, like, 1 or 2 in the morning to show Melrose Places that you could DVR and then watch in the morning when you get up.
She tore off her wig.
She really did.
She tore the hell out of it.
I need to see that not on YouTube.
Yeah.
At all times.
Holy crap. Spelling. And made so much TV. I'm
Yes, Dave.
Hotel.
Heart to Heart.
Can I read some of these?
Was he Vegas?
Okay, so
yes, Vegas.
Yeah,
yes.
Vegas. Well, I mean, okay, yeah, including non-soapy stuff. I mean, I guess Seventh Heaven is sort of a soap.
Oh, definitely.
Something called BAD, Bad Cats.
Never heard of it.
Nope. He did Charlie's Angels.
Right.
He did something called The Colbys, which I've been
off of Dynasty.
The Colbys was amazing.
With Emma Sams.
Fantasy Island.
Yeah. He did Heart to Heart, as you said. The Heights, which sounds soapy.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Walters. Ray Pruitt.
He did both Love Boats.
Yep.
Something called Malibu Shores.
That was like a WB show, I think.
I think it might have had Carrie Russell might have been in that.
Ooh. I believe you're right.
She was.
Pacific Palisades.
Yep.
Was that Grant Chow as the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
That was good.
Sunset Beach. Oh, TJ Hooker.
This?
Yeah.
TJ University Hospital. And something called The Young Rebels. Wow, that's a lot of TV. And that's. There's 56 things listed. We only listed a few.
Wow.
Yeah.
It could be a whole...
This channel really could work.
Come to me, Candy Spelling.
Seriously. So, any final words about SoapNet?
I would like to add this. If anyone here...
Please.
...within the sound of my voice is listening at SoapNet. You probably can't get fired at this point, so do me a solid. Find the mid-80s episodes of Loving on which my husband appears as villain Spider. He's wearing leather from... neck to knees.
Yes. I've seen the YouTube clips. Sarah, make it clear that you're not talking about one of your many crushes. You mean your actual
literal husband. This is my actual, legal in the state of New York.
I saw you marry.
Yes, my spouse,
yes,
who probably is going to divorce me now that I've outed him about this. But yeah, I mean, it's so good. Like in one scene, I'm watching it, and in one scene, he's, okay, throttling a lady, which is not okay.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, A, that's my husband. B, when I this aired, I was in eighth grade. And C, I had that exact outfit on the lady. I need to see this like on an actual TV screen. I think everyone else needs to see it too.
Mm-hmm.
His death scene apparently is really fantastic. They shot on location in Montreal.
Wow.
Outgoing SoapNet people, like 3 a.m. Just someone send me an anonymous email. It's NBD. And I think that's all I have to add.
I mean, I don't even know what I can say. Obviously, we're devastated.
Yes. Will you be putting on a silk turban for the very last day of SoapNet programming?
I wear a silk turban like 9 out of 10 days.
She's wearing one now. Her cans are on over it. Squished down a little bit, but it's still fabulous.
Are you going to bounce a second one on top of the first one?
Yes. It's a two turban day.
Yep. Going from one topic to another.
We are recording this on Monday. We are 3 days out from the live Sound of Music.
Oh my God.
I don't know how this possibly can be good. Again, we're recording this before it airs. Maybe it'll be great, but it won't.
My hope is it's going to be so, so terrible that it comes around to being amazing.
That's the only thing you really can hope for,
I think. They're never going to be better than Sound of Music.
I don't know why they even tried it with this show. I mean, I guess they had to pick something that enough people know, but it's like the movie is so beloved and it's still on all the time. They show it every year. Like it used to be in every Easter movie.
If they're going to do something like that and not, you know, go against a classic, at least of the level of Sound and Music, probably something like Grease would have been a better pick.
Sure. Grease is already like, it's been reinterpreted so many times. It was on Broadway in the 90s and, you know, everyone Brooke Shields to Rosie O'Donnell to Megan Mullally was in it. Yeah, that would have been fine.
Well, because Grease is already campy. Like, nobody is going to be like, don't touch Grease.
Right.
You love Grease, but like, if Bill Compton from True Blood wants to be Danny Zuko, that's going to be great.
If Carrie Underwood wants to be Maria, that's not okay, though.
No.
As long as we're all agreed.
No.
I don't know how she got this part. Like, I don't have anything against Carrie Underwood in her lane. This is not her lane. Like, if it was Sutton Foster as Fraulein Maria, no one would have a problem with it.
But no one's going to watch that, other than the, like, 12 people who watch Bunheads.
But there are, like, Broadway actors that are known, right? Aren't there? I guess not. Maybe there aren't.
Not in the right age group, I don't think.
I suppose.
I mean, Lea Michele.
Ooh. That would be even... Would that be worse? Let's discuss it. Would that be worse than Carrie Underwood?
I mean, I feel like at least... Actually, I think Carrie Underwood's a very good singer.
At this point in her personal life, yeah, it would be.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Okay.
Feeling like that's a dicey timing issue.
True.
I'm starting to think that the producers had to have known that this was going to be the response.
So you're saying they are this whole production is a troll? Is
Guys,
a troll
we're
operation?
Playing right into their hands. Don't feed the trolls.
Except they didn't tell the lead troll. Like lightning rod. I don't think Carrie Underwood is in on the joke, that's the case.
Definitely
and I'm
not.
Starting to feel bad for her a little.
Is this on, it's NBC, right?
Right.
So, and NBC has football now, right? And she's doing the opening to Sunday Night Football. She's like the new Faith Hill.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Maybe this was like part of her deal.
Oh, God.
Where she was like, I will be your new Faith Hill, but you need to let me take over Sound of Music and ruin a beloved, like, iconic film.
Oh, God.
I don't really think so. I just think that they have, like, the hots for her right now.
What else does NBC have going on? Not a mooch.
Yeah, no. the voice.
They should have had Christina Aguilera do it.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh.
That would have been tremendous.
Christina Aguilera in a nun's habit?
Yes.
In a 40s era Austrian nun's habit.
Yes.
This thing's live, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So maybe somebody will like fall downstairs or something like that.
That's the hope. Yeah. I mean, that is the hope.
Yeah.
Maybe or I'll have swear. To watch this live on my Slingbox and actually live tweet it.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I think it's now that I've said it, I guess I have to.
Kind of boring and misguided, though. That's what makes me sad. Like, there are the seeds of disaster.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's been just quadruple bagged so that this can't happen.
Well, they announced it, like, in the spring. It was a long, long time ago, like in May, maybe.
Are they just doing one, or are they doing, like...
No, just one.
Just they're not doing the 30 Rock thing where they do two versions?
Oh, and yeah, ER did that, too. Mm. I thought we were past this as a country.
Ugh, I know. Who really cares?
Let's do it live. Fuck off. No one wants it live. We want it good.
But the problem is, enough people are going to tune in out of curiosity to see it that they're going to be in, like, and then for Easter, My Fair Lady.
The thing is, though,
it's going to be total rubbernecking ratings. You're right.
Yeah. But for the whole time, it's like a four-hour movie.
Yeah.
You can't, I don't think people are going to be able to rubberneck for as long as they would need them to rubberneck.
I don't know.
I mean, I clearly plan to watch the whole thing.
What I can't believe is that they didn't do it on Thanksgiving, because I thought that would have been the obvious. Like, put it on when everyone is too tired to change the channel.
Yeah.
Yes, captive audience. And everyone Something is... the whole family can exactly. not enjoy.
Right.
That's not football.
Anyway.
Oops.
I don't know. I'm curious to know if this is going to be, like, if this will kick off a new trend. Because, like, everything we read is, like, the only TV events that get significant ratings anymore are live. Usually that means sporting events or award shows.
Yeah.
But this would be an attempt to, like, here's a new third kind of thing that can be live that everyone will tune into because they have to, because they have no choice because it's live, or because they want to see it at the same time as everyone else.
Or because they want to see what the tweets are all about. I think
that's
That's going to be it. Too. But, like, I just feel like people don't, I have watched my fair share of, like, live or live to tape Broadway stuff because I'm nerdy like that.
Sure.
And it's just not as good as being there live or watching the movie.
Right.
It's going to feel really, I like, you're never going to get the iconic shot of her twirling around on the top of the Alps.
Nope.
Are you? I hope so. And then she climbs into a helicopter like Jeff Probst, coming into the Survivor finale. It's going to be amazing.
All right, I think you just said how they can save it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I guess I have to watch now.
Fingers crossed.
All right, totally separate topic, but Sarah, you got a little report on the new season of Best Ink. Well, which one of the tattoo shows is this?
This is the one hosted by Pete Wentz. You all remember Pete Wentz from such things as naming his child Bronx Mowgli. Best Ink is, and I haven't watched all the tattoo shows, but the ones that aren't competitive reality shows, I don't care. Because it's like either they're super psyched about the tattoo or they're bummed out about it. And then there's, you know, shenanigans in the back room and stuff like that. So I would say this is the best of what turned out to be a fairly large and robust genre of shows. Pete Wentz is actually a decent host. The judging panel is pretty fair, but at the end of season two, it was becoming increasingly obvious that they were running out of ways to, or just challenges that could be ported over from, like, the, you know, big generic book of reality show challenges.
Your tattoo artist has to eat grubs while he gives you your tattoo.
Yeah. It was getting to that point. Like, here's a bull testicle. You can either have this tattooed on you or, you know, eat it and get a tattoo of your choice for free. Like, if it comes to that. So I'm curious to see how thin the connection to some challenge or sponsor is this season, because it was scraping the bottom of the barrel by the end of last year. But it's still, you know, and they need to leave in more footage of people being super unhappy with their tattoos.
Well, that was going to be my question, because it's one thing for people to go on, like, sheer genius and be, you know, be unfortunate hair models.
Right.
Just for the sake, because your hair will grow back.
And but, those people were always such fucking babies, too. I kind of miss that show.
That's true. I like that show, too. But so the people on Best Ink, like, are actually just regular people. They're like, sure, do whatever.
Kind of. I mean, that if you're getting your ink for free, that's not nothing. But first of all, they're starting to, I'm getting the feeling they're recycling people, because and everyone is like pretty sleeved up and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then every week it's like, please tell us the, you know, sob story that you're commemorating with this tattoo. And by the end of the season, it was like, well, this one time my cat got between the, you know, boards under the sink and she was gone for 5.5 hours, but we found her. So can you do a tattoo of a fairy? Like, what the
Man, I was imagining a tattoo of that little exploit of the cat. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be kind of like just going down the length of your leg, and it's like at the bottom.
You call that a cat butt? That's the least realistic cat butt I ever saw.
Well, Sarah, you have a lot of tattoos. Do you have any tattoos, Jessica?
No, no tattoos.
How many tattoos do you have?
You know, I have zero.
All right. Everybody's keeping their options open in case they want to be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Yes. That's my answer for why I don't do a lot of things, I guess. So, Sarah, is this a show that you recommend?
Well, at this time of year, frankly, yes, sure. What else you got going on?
Almost Human.
What else you got going on?
Exactly. All right. So it comes back on Wednesday?
Yes. All Wednesday. Right. It is on Oxygen. And if you're sort of like, this is not, you know, these tattoo shows aren't my scene. This one's a little different and a little better, but I'm not sure how long that's going to last. Mm. Give it a try. See what you think.
All right, everybody. That music means it's time for the canon. And we've let our guest, Jessica, put something up for nomination. And we're all very excited, I think, for this one.
Indeed.
Alrighty. Well, given what we've been discussing today, my nomination for the canon, of course, comes from Beverly Hills 90210.
God bless you.
It is season 2, episode 14. The official episode title is The Next 50 Years, but you surely know it better as the episode where poor Scott Scanlon gets it. And this episode is classic 90210. Season 2, obviously, is where the show really started to take off. Mm-hmm. I think the first season expects us to spend a lot of time caring about, like, whether Jim and Cindy are acclimating to Beverly Hills. And, like, who really cares? But the subsequent second season, and obviously the summer seasons, are really where, in my opinion, the show crystallized into its most perfect self. And,
yes,
and dropped any pretense that it was about people's parents at all, unless those parents are in the middle of ruining Brenda Walsh's life.
Yes.
So one of the reasons I picked this episode is that it's kind of like a linchpin of that change. When it became clear that the most compelling parts of the show are when the core group of kids are interacting, rather than like Cindy's struggle with her housekeeper.
Jesus Christ. That was 2 episodes.
I know, right? Nobody cares. I feel like Brian Austin Green sort of integrated well into the group of popular kids plus Andrea. Douglas Emerson, who plays Scott, stuck out like a sore thumb. I don't think the writers knew what to do with him, in part because he is like the worst actor ever. He's so bad. And I think that at, you know, some point over at Spelling Entertainment, they were having multiple discussions about what they were going to do to get rid of Scott. And a lot of shows, I think, would have done something sort of smart and subtle about how friends grow apart. And then you would have like maybe seen him in the background of the prom. But I love 90210 for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons is that it decided not to go smart and subtle.
Why use a scalpel when you got an axe?
Exactly. And instead went full on soap opera and killed the kid off. So if you haven't seen it, you should rectify that.
Yes.
But also basically what happens is this. West Beverly High is unearthing a time capsule that was buried around the time Pearl Harbor was bombed. And this is actually something that happens a lot on 90210. They're like obsessed with other time periods. Like,
yes.
What if Brenda lived in the 60s? God. And like that horrible one where Dylan went back to the Old West.
Yes.
Let's not talk about that. Please.
So this is like the worst. This is like the first instance of one of their worst instincts on that show.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second?
Yes.
You guys need to describe that one to Dylan because it's one that Dave would have never seen, not even over my shoulders because it's post Brenda.
I don't even really remember. Dylan like is in a coma.
Is it that, or I couldn't remember if it was a dream sequence or if he got like hypnotized or something.
No, I think he's in a coma because something happened with his dad coming back from the dead. Remember all that shenanigans?
Yeah. Anyway, I thought this was the Sweat Lodge one where he
that one too.
Time travel.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of time travel.
That this total Star Trek, Kirk is a gangster moment. God, it was bad.
This is like a really late season one where it's all about like how he's like saving Kelly from getting robbed on the stagecoach.
Yes.
It's awful.
Yes.
If what ever the opposite of the canon is, that goes into
We do
that
have
one.
An opposite of the canon.
The no-knack.
It's called the no-knack.
This goes in the no-knack. That one goes in the no-knack.
Okay, I apologize for the sidebar. Please resume, Jessica.
Well, anyway, David is in charge of doing... He's on the video yearbook. Annie's emceeing a dance. Annie's obviously the school DJ because he's like the only person at that school who I guess knows how to work AV equipment. So David Silver is really busy. Too busy, perhaps, to even deal with the fact that it's Scott's birthday. Mm-hmm. Now, Scott's mom comes into play here. And she's played by Jenny O'Hara, who is a total, hey, it's that guy.
God love her.
You have seen her in, like, everything. Yep. She's Doug Heffernan's mom in King of Queens.
Oh, yeah.
She's in Big Love. Yep. Like, she's the quintessential character actress.
Yes.
And she's great in this episode, by which I mean she's totally unbearable.
What a weirdo.
She is a weird lady. She is emotional, manipulative, mm-hmm. insensitive, bossy, everything. And she basically steamrolls David into helping plan a surprise party for Scott.
On like 4 days' notice.
Oh, yeah. And David agrees because, like, I think he feels guilty that he hates and is embarrassed by Scott now that he's all popular. And somehow David talks everyone into making an appearance at this otherwise totally lame birthday party. And I have to say he is helped in this by Donna, who is inexplicably hot for him. And this is the beginning of like an epically long arc of David and Donna. Mm-hmm. So a few episodes previously, the show had established that Scott had spent the summer at like his uncle's dude ranch or whatever. So he's all country and western now.
Yep.
And his birthday party is a cowboy themed party, which is both juvenile and also incredibly awkward once, spoiler, he accidentally shoots and kills himself. and the party does not start off well, even prior to the unfortunate demise of the birthday boy. Brandon has just started dating Emily Valentine, to Andrea's intense dismay. And that is basically the B-plot of this episode.
I have a question about that.
Yes.
Was there something in between Andrea and Brandon before
she
this?
She wishes.
She liked him. She threw herself at him at the end of season one. Because,
but they weren't together.
No. She just
had wishful thinking.
Yes, and she had a very obvious crush on him that everyone knows about, including him.
Yes, she offers to let him take her virginity when she thinks he's moving back to to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I almost said Wisconsin. And he's like, no thanks. So it was awkward.
No, they were going to. And then they go to the peach pit and there's the send-off party is happening. Another surprise party episode. They're about to go and do it in the peach pit.
Ew.
I don't even know where.
When you say in the peach pit.
I mean, in the restaurant known as the Peach Pit, he has the keys for some reason, and it's closed at night. And then they go, and they're like, "Well, here we go." I guess they were going to do it on a table or a booth or something.
Oh, Brandon!
And then everyone's there, and then Jim and Cindy are like, "Psych, we're not moving." And then Brenda's like, "I'm late."
Oh, that's right. There's a lot going on in 90210. But anyway, so she is like in love with him, and he's like, "I don't care." And he's dating Emily Valentine, who I would argue is like the most famous and most interesting of Brandon's many girlfriends.
Agreed.
So anyway, they are late to the party, Brandon and Emily are, and they ruin the surprise. And that's when Scott overhears an angry speech from David to Donna about how much Scott sucks and he has no friends, which you'll hear in this clip.
I can't believe how clueless that woman is.
Ooh, Scott's mom?
She acts like the party was ruined because of me and my friends when she should be thanking me for saving it. It's not like Scott's Mr. Popular. No one would have even showed up if it wasn't for you and me.
Camera pans.
Scott.
Oh, minor chord clicking.
He's sad.
So when we were watching this, Dave was like, this is the most attention Dave has ever paid to any episode of 90210.
Not true.
Ever.
Not true.
Oh, that's right. We did one for a previous
game. That, well, it was like the Christmas story one or something.
Oh, yeah, the Christmas one.
Oh, that one's awful.
That's also a no-knack.
Yeah, that one's
is this
terrible.
The one where the guy from the Peach Pit, he talks all like the guy from a Titanic.
Oh, that's a different one.
Oh, that's a different one?
That's the one where
that's
they...
That's the 60s one?
That's the 60s
one. Oh, okay.
That one's also awful.
Yes.
I've seen a few.
All right, sorry. But anyway, he was like, that guy's really got his sad puppy dog look down. And
I
was like, that's kind of his only look.
That's his only
expression. It's not on his show anymore.
Random note, the music, the background music for this episode and perhaps the whole series, you could actually port that to Star Trek The Next Generation. Mm-hmm. Nobody would notice. It's the exact same music.
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
It's just like he uses three keys on his Casio and that's it. And then it's like, boom, episode done. Ship it out, boys.
Oh, all right. So, funny. Yes, David has just been busted.
Yes.
Shit talking Scott.
And then he has to turn around and basically save the entire night to make it up to poor Scott. So, of course, he does this by starting off a dance party, mm-hmm. Which means we get an interminable dance break where Brian Austin Green busts a move, which actually is also one of the reasons I'm nominating this episode, because anytime David Silver dances, it's automatically classic 90210.
He wasn't bad.
No.
He was pretty good.
I have to say, I think Bat kind of acquitted himself well in this episode.
I agree.
His acting, I think, is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he can dance.
He can. I always liked it when he danced with Brenda because you could tell that he and Shannon Doherty enjoyed dancing.
Yeah. So,
I was just going to say she had a really nice dance moment in this in this one.
Well, he manages to get Kelly and Brenda to like make a Scott sandwich, basically.
Yeah. Which is no.
Not in a dirty way, just in a very chaste, dancey way.
It's like a nice moment before the kid kills himself.
Going out on top.
So, as regular 90210 viewers are well aware, Brandon Walsh does not dance.
No, never.
Never. So he and Emily Valentine and her Billy Idol hair take this moment to sneak off and start making out in one of the little kids' bedrooms. And of course, Mrs. Scanlon finds them and freaks out and kicks them out. And everyone but David leaves with them. It's time for cake.
And teeny tiny bowler hats.
Yes, there's a lot of tiny cowboy hats in this episode. So they send Scott into the other room to find matches to light his own birthday cake. But what he finds instead is his father's gun in a desk drawer. And he attempts to show it off for David, twirling it around his thumb like a gunslinger. But of course it goes off and it kills him, which you will hear here.
Scott, come on. They found some. Hey, David, check this out. Scott. Scott. Scott, put that.
FUD.
This is the slow motion gasping and breathing from Brian Austin Green. It goes on a long time.
I let this music in so you can so we can all just, you know, come down for the moment.
Yes, as we come in from commercial, the West Beverly Chorus is singing for the second time in 20 minutes at a memorial service, and everyone is dealing with the aftermath of Scott's death. Although a lot of people actually don't really care. Take Dylan, for example.
Please.
I don't want to sound like a jerk. Which one was Scott's?
Asshole.
When you told me, I thought it was that kid over there. It's obviously not.
No, Dylan, you know Scott. He was David Silver's friend. Blonde hair. He was in your tech class last year.
Oh, my God. That guy.
You actually saved him from a bully.
I was exactly back when he was a baseball cap kid instead of a cowboy hat kid.
Dylan has a short memory. He has a lot of stuff going on, but at least he feels bad about it. Whereas Andrea, on the other hand, is using this tragic death as a way to make a statement about gun control in the Blaze, which is the school newspaper of which she is editor in chief and where, awkwardly, Emily and Brandon work, which you'll hear in the following.
I just don't see why we need to use this tragic accident as the springboard for some diatribe about gun control.
I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, a loaded gun should not have been accessible in a desk drawer of a house full of kids.
I agree, but the story speaks for itself. We need to focus on the personal side, get pictures of Scott, interview David Silver, cover the funeral.
Who gets that plum assignment?
Well, obviously, it shouldn't be Brandon.
Why not?
You really want to go to the funeral after Mrs. Scanlon kicked us out of Scott's party?
She kicked you out?
Yeah, she caught us making out in his little brother's room and had a fit.
Terrific. I guess I'll cover the funeral then.
Andrea, I'll do it.
Great. And why don't you bring Emily along so you could rub some salt in Miss Scanlon's wounds while you're at...
I'll go alone. I know how to be discreet. What's the matter with you, Emma?
Nothing. I'm sure you'll do a fine job.
So classic, Andrea. Everyone is deliciously unbearable in that scene.
Those noises in the background, in case you're wondering, they're things called typewriters. Typewriters, yes.
I think that something else about this episode that's good is that it really is setting up this great, like, Brandon, Andrea, Emily Valentine love triangle. And they're all kind of like their perfect 90210 selves. Andrea is strident and awkward. Brandon is self-obsessed, cocky, and a blowhard. Although, in fairness, I did think he was really cute back in the day.
Mm-hmm. No, me too.
And, like, this is right before Emily and Brandon take Euphoria. And then he breaks up with her and she goes crazy and tries to burn down a parade float.
Which you should add
Heather, we had also invited Heather to be here. She was not able to, and that would have been her pick.
Yes. She was like, oh, Euphoria. And I did think about that. This is a good classic section of 90210.
The thing that makes that one better, I'm sorry to keep interrupting, is that Brandon's precious car gets vandalized.
Yes, his precious car.
The fucking car that he spent the entire summer talking about.
Don't take drugs, kids.
No, don't take drugs.
So Scott's dead. And as for David, everyone's being really nice to David. And he's pretending he's fine, but obviously he's not. And after he views some footage he's shot of Scott for the yearbook, the video yearbook, he just can't take it anymore. And when Brandon goes in to talk to him, to interview him for this aforementioned Blaze insert, he totally loses it. And obviously this is in his DJ booth, and the mic is hot, and the whole school hears the following.
Hey, look, man, this isn't going to take very long. I just need to ask you a couple questions, okay?
Look, Brandon, I don't think that I...
David, I can't push this back anymore, man. I'm on a serious deadline.
Well, why don't you just make up a few quotes so I won't offend anybody by saying the wrong thing?
Why don't you just tell me something about Scott? There's some memory. Something that not too many other people would know, and we'll leave it at that.
Well, he sucked his thumb until he was 8. Is that what you had in mind?
Come on, David, we're putting out this issue as a tribute to Scott.
Why? So people can glance at it and then throw it in the garbage?
No, so people can get some kind of an idea as to who he was.
Look, he was a jerk, okay? He was a jerk who blew himself away. That's who he was. You don't know. You left early. You missed out on the fun part when he picked up a loaded gun and twirled it around like Wyatt Earp. You weren't there to see him goof up and shoot himself and bleed all over his mom's Persian rug.
David, the microphone is on.
I don't care. No one gave a rat's ass about Scott until he died. And I was the worst one of all. He was my best friend and I dropped him because he wasn't cool like you or Kelly or Steve.
David.
So they're looking at me. So what? They've been looking at me for days, Brandon. Oh, poor David. Is he going to be okay? I hope he hasn't cracked up yet. I can't even walk through the hall without somebody in my face trying to cheer me up like they're my new best friend. Well, what about my old best friend? It doesn't matter what you write about him in that paper, Brandon. It doesn't matter what you say about somebody once they're gone. What matters is how you treat them when they're still here. I guess you can quote me on that.
Bum, bum, bum.
That was actually pretty well acted,
That is,
I agree. Under the circumstances.
The next thing in my notes is that Brian Austin Green's actually really good in this episode, and you never say that about Brian Austin Green.
No, he's good.
Did we say that in the episode where he got addicted to crystal meth for 24 hours? No.
I've seen that episode.
He's good in this episode. And that scene actually is really kind of smartly done because it, you know, Steve and Kelly and all the popular kids actually are really kind to him after this, and it serves as a really good way to finally totally integrate David Silver into that group.
Yes.
So it actually has a sort of a useful plot point as well.
Do you think they got special dispensation from the network for Rat's Ass? Because this is like, what year is this?
90
or earlier.
I was wondering that because after Goof Up, it
91
kind of clanked.
Because 50 years.
I'm just curious. Seemed like for a youth-oriented soap from the early
90s.
Yeah,
but Fox was always pushing the boundaries of what they could do.
And it is a very special episode. So
well, that's what I mean. I mean, ordinarily, they wouldn't drop that, but this was very special.
It was. And it ends with, David finally decides he needs to memorialize Scott in his own way, which involves burying another time capsule secretly on West Beverly grounds. And leaving aside the question of who's going to dig this up, it turns out to be kind of a terrible time capsule that has nothing to do with Scott. David buries Scott's hat, and they say some kind words about him, and they call it the Scott Scanlon Memorial Time Capsule. But Brenda buries a Minnesota Twins t-shirt, and Steve buries a Corvette keychain.
And Donna buries a bolt of spandex.
Oh my God, Donna. You're the worst. My theory is that this is either because the writers are, like, making a meta statement about how selfish these people are, or... And I think this is equally likely they themselves have already totally forgotten about Hornets.
Well, what else could they put in? Like a Randy Travis CD? I know. That's it. That's all you know about
Scott.
The gun that he killed himself with.
But that's the end of the episode. So it ends on a little bit of a thunk.
Yep.
But the main reason I'm nominating this episode is that I think it's a pivotal one in the life of the show itself for reasons I've discussed earlier. And also because it's one where if you turn on SoapNet and it's on, you're going to go on Twitter and be like, oh my God, you guys,
yep,
Scott Scanlon's about to shoot himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly one of the bigger water cooler episodes in the show's history.
Yep. Yes.
Despite the fact that it has problems, it's like really ham-handed. There's not enough Dylan in my feeling. Like he's not at the party for some BS reason that he's like surfing in Baja. Which makes you wonder.
How can you say that's BS? I know. That's what he's about, Jessica.
It's true. But it makes you wonder in retrospect what Luke Perry was having to do that week. Because it seems weird that he's not there.
Yes.
And finally, Douglas Emerson is like a really incredibly bad in it, which I think is kind of a ding.
Mm-hmm.
It is remarkable to be watching an episode where the actor whose character is being killed off is literally demonstrating for the audience the reason he's being killed off.
Yep.
But I would argue that by being killed off, Scott Scanlon achieved the kind of iconic status his character never would have granted if he'd been allowed to live. Mm-hmm. And his sacrifice paved the way for this show's future greatness.
Yes.
Would we have gone to experience David Silver singing, "You Were So Precious to Me" at the beach club, had he still had Scott Scanlon hanging like a millstone around his neck? I vote no. So for truly clearing the way for greatness, and because despite all its flaws, this is an unforgettable 90210 episode, I argue it deserves a place in the canon. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Who's starting us off here?
I'll go.
Okay.
As a person least familiar with the show, but not unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. 90210 through the lens of this episode is a story about a group of monsters.
That's accurate.
Making their way through school.
Who don't know
leaving
how to
a trail
behave.
Of destruction in their wake.
Yes.
These people are just terrible, and I don't know if that is just that the writers are trying to write them to be 90s cool and they're all high school, or whether they're actually supposed to be this involved with themselves.
If I may, when the show started in the much more earnest first season, as Jessica alluded to, it usually was like all of the Bev Niner kids were dicks.
Yeah.
And Brenda and Brandon were supposed to be like our moral avatars, I guess. Like, they were supposed to be the ones who were nicer kids and better raised and all this stuff.
That lasts about 10 minutes.
It doesn't last. Because Shannon Doherty's bitchiness will not
bless
be contained.
Her.
They could not hold it down for long. And so I think this episode comes at a sort of pivotal point before the rest of the gang is sort of also, because then they have all that stuff with like, we're helping out at the Alvarado Street school or whatever. So it's like they all get turned into like the leaders of the school in terms of their whatever. And so this is like at a pivot point, I think, where they still are like, no, I'm not hanging out with that Dorcas.
Yeah.
Including Brenda and Brandon, who are like, you know. So I think that's part of it. But none of them is like, and David is still on the fringe of the group at this point too. So he's not even enough their friends that he can be like, come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, he's really asking them a big favor to go and hang out with his old losery friend. And none of them can like get it up for the occasion to even pretend that they want to be
But
there.
What makes the writing interesting is that it's unrepentant.
Yes, definitely. And
it's monsterism.
In a way, I think that's kind of more realistic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kelly Taylor is not going to be friends with dorky Scott Scanlon.
No.
Like, even after the lesson has been learned, like, as you say, at the end of the show, when they're doing the time capsule, it's like, the episode could have been called Scott Free. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, who? You know, at the end.
Yes.
And there's something that is so perfect about that approach. If it was an approach, perhaps it was just the way it shook out. But that just makes this such a, like a perfect time capsule of an episode.
Oh, see what you did there.
Yes. not only for soaps, but the 90s and sort of the start of like true teen specific writing. You know, I think that's, you know, like now you got a whole channels dedicated to it, but I feel like you see the genesis of it here in a way that has been refined since, but perhaps not as fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said and everything you said, especially about poor dumb Scott.
Please mention the boom mics.
The boom mics are in so many shots.
I didn't notice that at
There's
all.
There's like six or seven
There's
shots.
Six different scenes, because we counted, where That's you can amazing. See the boom in the top of the wow. shot.
Way to go, guys.
And the ones that when they're outside, it's fluffy. Like, it's quite obvious. It's for real. But yes, the whole thing of like the one kid getting in with the cool crowd and like leaving his losery friend behind is a real thing that definitely happens in high school and life.
And was done much better a couple years later, a la Angela Chase and Sharon Tursky.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yes. It's crazy to think that was only a couple of years later, but it was like 2 years later.
Yeah, I had a whole digression here that I took out because otherwise I would have been still talking.
Yes.
That was like, this is really where you know that like 90210 and My So-Called Life are totally different animals. Yes. They would not have killed off one of Angela yeah. Chase's no.
It's protein versus
yeah.
sugar.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yes. But yeah, it really has everyone being the most themselves
yes.
that they ever were, including Dylan. I wonder if it was like that Luke Perry wasn't doing anything or that they really couldn't figure out a reason. Like, if Dylan was in town, he wouldn't go because that's Dylan's whole thing. He's not going to fake it. Not even if Brenda asks him. He's mm-hmm. not going to go if he doesn't know who this kid is.
What a hero.
But you know what I mean? Like that.
No, I totally know what you mean. That was totally in character.
Yes.
And for him to be like, yeah, I don't. Who?
Right.
I thought that was like, he was actually the least dicky about it, I thought.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Because Dylan is awesome.
Because, and if you ever were, I don't know if this happened to you, did a kid ever die when you were in high school?
No.
When you were students? Sarah, did you? Did that happen to you?
In eighth grade, but it wasn't like, she wasn't killed. She just died.
Okay. Well, when I was in grade 10, a kid at my high school died in a car accident. And all of this stuff did happen where yeah. it was like, nobody really was 100% sure who he was. They did do an insert in the newspaper. Like, all of this is exactly true to the high school experience. May he rest in peace. Sorry to that kid. Yeah.
And that's how you can tell you went to a fancy rich person high school. It's when your high school has a newspaper.
I did not go to a fancy rich person high school.
Okay.
Niagara District?
Uh-huh.
I went to a farm school.
Yeah. All right. We'll save Sidebar. That discussion for offline. But I think you're at a better off school and you didn't realize it compared to others in the area.
All right.
Like Thorold.
Oh, well, Thorold.
I went to a fancy private school and
we had three
newspapers. Get shit, so.
Yeah, Sarah went to the fanciest school of all of us for sure.
That's true. All right.
Anyway, this is a great episode. Emily is like right on the cusp of turning completely crazy. And Brandon is completely under her spell, which is adorable. Mel has that great moment where he tells David what he learned about life on the first day of dental school. We played the beginning of the episode as if that matters.
That's just my favorite it. Moment of the episode by far.
And David is like, oh, God, Dad. And like, he just starts out of the car.
Yeah.
It's so good.
As if the Dalai Lama, you know, went to dental school and now he's imparting his wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. And why Donna kept trying with David when he was being such a jerk to her, I'm sure I do not know.
The story of their life.
That's really true. I watched the episode I watched today was the last episode of season four where she finds out that he's been screwing Ariel, the record yeah. company girl.
Oh, that was bad.
She deserved better, as much as she was not my favorite character. But anyway, yes, excellent submission.
Thank you.
Beautifully argued. Sarah D. Bunting.
I agree on all your points, except that Dylan is awesome, but I'm not going to go back to that. He's less unawesome here than usual. He's
yes.
not wearing a short sleeve Baja top. Let's just
not.
Leave it there.
He probably did in Baja, though.
Yeah, he was in Baja. It was referenced. I cringed appropriately. I would like to mention a scene that we didn't clip, but Andrea is going over her editorial with Brandon and asks him if something is too strident, and I had to pause it and laugh for 10 minutes because that is her Native American name, too strident.
Also that he's not paying attention to her, and then he's like, oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Instead of being like, obviously it's too strident, you have too strident and sleeping, those are your two sitting. I'd also like to mention that Douglas Emerson was terrible, as usual. But I think Douglas Emerson recognized this about himself. And I believe Tara and I mentioned this in the Television Without Pity book, that he joined the Air Force uh-huh. and became a staff sergeant and served his country with distinction, apparently. So
good on you, Douglas Emerson.
Mm-hmm. Do it, Douglas Emerson, as long as he wasn't in some like Air Force touring production of anything.
Of The Sound of Music.
Yeah. Oh, God. Actually, wow. That needs to happen.
Douglas Emerson is Captain Von Trapp.
Oh, I was going to say Maria because whatever. I've been in Brooklyn too long. I definitely think this is the episode where the show completes the transition from being that like first season PSA, issues driven, Minnesota naives and the, you know, evil, callous underbelly of overprivileged Beverly Hills and becomes the teen soap that we all remember it being. And Douglas Emerson / Dead Scott is like the rocket booster that it sheds on its way. That metaphor needs some work, but
nope, it's
I'm
perfect.
Out of coffee. And yeah, I think this is a fantastic nominee and I vote yes, unreservedly.
I don't usually watch this kind of thing, you know, but it was like super enjoyable from stem to stern. This is a great episode. It doesn't have to be capital I important TV to be in the canon. It just has to be capital G good TV. Mm-hmm. And it was totally enjoyable. I vote yes.
I obviously vote yes too.
All right.
Yay!
Beverly Hills 90210, Season 2, Episode 14, The Next 50 Years, a.k.a. Scott Free. You are hereby inducted into the extra Hot Gray Canon. All right, we got a lot of TV to catch up on, so let's do it around the dial.
Neve Shulman is writing a book. Neve Shulman, the host of Catfish, who came to prominence in the world by being fooled by a very not talented online trickster who catfished him, is what we now call it, because of him. He's writing a book about love. So I'm going to read it because I'm sure it's going to be super insightful. I can't believe someone gave him money to do this. I can't wait.
Punkin' Chunkin'. Really hope I'm not the only person who watches this every Thanksgiving, but I have a few suggested tweaks. First of all, it doesn't need to be 2 hours long. Second of all, it's only 2 hours long because we're watching Carrie of the Mythbusterettes do interviews and wear tight pants, which is fine, but I'm not really the demo for that. I want to see pumpkins splattering and shot distances up to half a mile using a trebuchet. I just like saying trebuchet.
Yeah, that's the
great I would
word.
Also like Punkin' Chunkin' to be a series called Chunkin' and put all kinds of things in it. Chicken Chunkin', Dunkin' Chunkin', just put all kinds of things that are going to go boom into catapults of various designs and put it on every week. I will watch it. I am not a crackpot. Next.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's a little spoiler for you. Spoilers, aho, fun, ahoy. R.I.P. Richard Harrow from Boardwalk Empire, dispatched in the finale of the season in the show's quest to remove every character you liked from the series. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah,
Boardwalk Empire. I had no plans to go back to watching it, but now I super don't.
Next.
The month of November 2013 featured 184,391 hours of JFK-related programming. I watched two-thirds of that programming. If I could recommend only one thing, it would be the JFK American Experience, which itself is about 40 hours of that programming. It's totally worth it and really well done. If you kind of took a pass because you couldn't pick one, it's a good show. It's available online, pbs.org. Next.
There was not a lot of original programming on Thanksgiving night, but there was a Muppets special starring Lady Gaga on ABC that aired opposite a Glee episode that also had puppets, and enough with the puppets. It's too much. And I watched Glee because I was at my sister's, and they sang that song, the Fox song.
with puppets?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yet, I'm with you on the puppets.
It's too much.
I'm out.
Enough Bird already. In. Yep.
The Oprah Network has a show coming up featuring a mob enforcer turned dog groomer. Really?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's like a Mad Lib.
Yeah.
Yikes.
The whole network is there.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
All right, it's time for Winner and Loser of the Week. And Tara, you have our winner.
The winner of the week is Jody Flynn, one of the producers of A&E's Hoarders.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was expecting the Hoarder sting, but oh. Fine. She Hoarders, alas, is no longer with us, tragically, but I'm glad that she is going to be making more shows. I hope they are as good as Hoarders. I don't care what they're about. I will watch them as long as they're trashy.
And our loser?
Well, as so many of the losers I select are, the loser is really all of us. Kris Jenner and Ben Flajnik, who was the Bachelor, Flynshire, Huff Hines, apparently are having a fling. I don't know if we call this flanner or genic. I call it gross, and we're all a little dumber because this is happening.
All right, I have a question for everybody. Actually, I'll ask Jessica since she's our guest. Yes. Do you know what time it is? This is a quiz.
Literally what time it is right now?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah.
Doing game time over again. It's very sad.
It really is.
All right, so giant tactical snafu in our first pass at game time. We got through a game time and then realized we had a recording snafu at about the third of like about 60 questions.
Yep.
So RIP that game time. I got to figure out a way to bring it back into the mix somehow, maybe as a user game time, maybe when we have...
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
We could do that for Christmas.
Totally.
Yeah. Slash the holidays.
So here is a new one. This game time comes from Travis, who has submitted
Repeat offender.
Definitely a repeat offender. I think this might be his third or so, even
hey,
on
Travis.
The
Marcia.
Look at Travis game times, too.
So he earns himself an extra credit, redeemable for another extra hot, great mini topic of his choosing.
Sarah, maybe he's starting to learn your areas of strength.
I hope so. Because if it's sitcoms, bye-bye.
Today's... today's game is called Character Comedy Introductions. And it's all about characters' first lines from sitcoms.
All right.
I am going to give you their first line. You tell me the character. For 2 points, you can ask for a hint, which is the show, after which the answer would be worth 1 point. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
All right. Pretty simple game.
Matters,
as we,
yes.
Yeah. All right, Picky, let's see who's going first. Let's see who is going first, Picky, even though we
will start with valued guest.
Yay! All
right. The snafus continue. All right. So Jessica will go first, followed by Tara, and then we will go to Sarah in New York. All right. Here we go with comedy introductions. Jessica, your line is, whoa, excuse me. There's a line, buddy. So you can answer straight off if you think you know it. You can ask for a hint. I'll give you the show, after which you tell me the character. The goal is to tell me the character's name.
All right. I'm not going to be good at this. My guess is Elaine Benes.
Very close.
Right city, wrong show. That was Liz Lemon from 30 Rock.
Oh, God.
All right. Tara.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, 36 questions.
Okay.
I've always loved getting clean. I love baths. I love showers. I'm going to put this in the dramedy category, just
okay.
So we're not to I need the character name. You can ask for the show as a hint.
Can I hear the quote again?
I've always loved getting clean. I love baths. I love showers. Do you want the hint?
Girls.
She doesn't want a hint. Orange is the New Black. That's the opening of Orange is the New Black from Piper.
Also, Girls is not a character. That's the name of the show.
Correct. All right, Sarah. All right, yes. Jim. Your quarterlies look very good. What character said it? You can ask for the show as a hint, but that's a pretty big hint in the quote already, I think. All right, Jim. Your quarterlies look very good.
You'd think that, but then you'd remember the genre. I will need a hint.
Your hint is that's from the show The Office. What character said it?
Jim, Pam, Michael Scott. Sticking with that one.
Yay!
1 point. Sarah's on the board before anybody else. Jessica.
All right.
Yeah, so shut up, Sarah. Just kidding.
Okay.
Get over yourself.
Okay.
So you know in horror movies when the girl's like, oh my God, there's something in the basement. Let me just run down there in my underwear and see what's going on in the dark.
Oh my God. I'm going to get nothing on this game.
So you can ask for the hint.
I need the hint.
New Girl. Who said that on New Girl? What character?
I'm going to say Schmidt.
Oh, Jess. That was what I would have said. Jess's first line from the show.
Funnier if it's Schmidt. I just would like to say that.
Definitely.
I agree.
All right, Tara.
Yep.
Listen, pep talk. Big day today. It's our grand reopening.
Bob Belcher.
2 points from Bob's Burgers. All right, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Space. It seems to go on and on forever. But then you get to the end and a gorilla starts throwing barrels at you.
Oh, I need a hint, please.
Futurama. That was what character's very first line?
I don't know, so I'm going to say Zoidberg because I love him.
That was Fry's first line. Fry's.
Okay.
Jessica.
Alrighty.
Since I was a kid, I've been able to sleep through anything. Storms, sirens, you name it. Last night, I didn't sleep.
I am going to need a hint.
Scrubs.
Oh, God. JD? All right.
1 point. All right. Tara.
Yep.
And this is the set of The Girly Show. It's a real fun ladies comedy show for ladies.
Kenneth the Page.
2 points. All right.
From 30 Rock.
Sarah, my crotch is itchy. Who said that?
Hint.
Bob's Burgers is the show. What character said it?
I don't really know any character names on Bob's Burgers. I'm sorry. Bob.
That was Tina. All right.
Okay.
We're quarter way through our game.
Jessica has one. Sarah has one. I have four.
Four. All right. So back to Jessica. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. So I met this guy in acting class. He's really cool, and he wants to see where I work. So could you guys try not to be weird?
Oh, God. Acting class. Could you guys try not to be weird? She works somewhere. I know this. Tara's giving me this look like, you know it.
I don't know if you know it. I don't know if you watch the show.
I need a hint.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Ugh, no, I do not watch it. So I'm going to guess her name is Jennifer.
No, it's Sweet D said that. Sweet D. All right, Tara.
Yes. I would have known that one. Wow.
Hey, so you know how I've always had a thing for half Asian girls?
Oh. Show.
How I Met Your Mother.
Barney.
1 point. Sarah.
Uh-huh.
So you think this is hard? Try being waterboarded. That's hard.
Hint.
Glee.
I don't know.
Anybody? Take a guess.
Sue?
Yeah, that was Sue.
That's a comedy now?
Well, okay. It's a dramedy.
Dramedy. Yeah. They submit as a comedy. Yeah.
I still didn't know it, so I guess it counts as a sitcom.
All right, Jessica.
Alrighty.
I'm not sure how it all started. Oh, it was 'cause I smelled his bottom.
Oh my God, I don't know.
I'm not sure how it started. Oh, it was 'cause I smelled his bottom. You want the show?
Yes.
The hint is Ally McBeal.
I'm going to say Ally.
Ally said bottom?
All right, Tara.
Yep.
I'm 41 and I'm single. Not really single, just alone. I'm 41 and single. Not really single, just alone.
Show.
Louie.
I was going to say that's sad, so that makes sense.
All right, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So are you talking about diet soda too? Because I don't think we should take away the diet soda. So many of our girls are watching their weight. This is a dramedy. Hint is Weeds. Who said that on Weeds?
Nancy.
Celia.
Is there a Nancy on Weeds?
Yes.
Then that's half the battle.
Jessica.
Okay.
Look what they've done, Michael. Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
All right. So that's obviously The Office, which I don't actually watch that much. I'm going to say it's... Oh, God. I'm not good at sitcoms at all. Dwight?
Wrong show.
Oh.
That's Lucille Bluth.
Oh, of course.
The beginning of Arrested Development.
The bones. Yeah. Shit.
All right, number 17.
It's ready.
First day, Bambi.
Carla.
From Scrubs. So. 2 points. Tara is killing this one. All right. To Sarah. I like your poncho. My dad got me one in Guadalajara.
Well, I knew this one.
I feel like I should know this one, but I don't. Hint.
Ugly Betty.
I like your poncho.
Go with the flow, Sarah.
Betty?
I was going to say, the recapper. That's right.
All right, for Jessica.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of sweat, here's a little known fact. Women have fewer sweat glands than men, but they're larger and more active.
I need the show.
All right, here's a good hint with that quote. This line was the first character of what character from Cheers?
Oh, Clavin. Who else would know that but Clavin?
Correct.
Nice.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
Luke got his head stuck in the banister again.
Claire? Shit. It's Modern Family, though, right?
It is Modern Family. That's Alex Dumphy. Alex Dumphy. All right, Sarah. You have an idea of how your life is going to turn out. When I was a kid, all I did was watch romantic comedies in our living room while I did my homework.
Shit. Hint.
The Mindy Project.
Mindy.
King of the hint point. All right, for Jessica.
What the listeners don't know is that we were just extensively talking about the Mindy Project, like, right before we started recording this new game.
All right.
I didn't see the pilot, though. Anyway, continue.
Nina, would you like to tell Dr. Solomon that he parked in your space again?
I have no idea. What's the show?
Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, I don't even remember anybody's name from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was Dr. Mary Albright.
Okay.
A tough one, a tough one. Okay, Tara.
Yeah.
We want to make a metal that's as hard as steel, but can bounce like rubber, and is edible.
Okay, the show is Better Off Ted, I'm going to guess. And I'll say 50-50 shot. Veronica? Oh, phew.
Good guess. <Nice. clears throat> Good context clue there, and a nice pull. All right. For Sarah. So I said to the gardener, Yoshi, I do not want a Zen garden in my backyard. If I want to rake gravel to maintain my inner harmony, I'll move to Yokohama.
Hint, please.
Frasier.
Niles.
Ah! Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I thought that was going to trip you up.
I did too.
Yeah. Well done. 1 point for Sarah. Okay, Jessica.
Okay.
Hi. Okay. And here are some things I hope wouldn't happen in my life. My father would leave my mother. I'd be taken out of private education and forced to go to a normal school, where the school nutter would then be where the school nutter would then take a bit of a dislike to me. I butchered that one.
I bet $1,000 you've never seen this show.
Okay, yeah. What's the show?
The Inbetweeners.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea. I'm going to say a character's name, Jason.
That was Will.
There is a Jason on the show, though. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's a Jason on the show.
I would have gone with Nigel.
Clive, also a good guess.
Or Tara.
Yes.
Simon.
There is a Simon, too.
I'm afraid I have some bad news. We're going to have to slice off your son's cock.
Wow.
What?
That one's blue.
What's the show?
Children's Hospital.
Oh. Who could it be?
I'll give you the first part of it.
Is a cat?
It is not. Dr. Owen Maestro.
Dang.
Yeah. All right, Sarah. I can't. I promised my husband we start having sex once a month without it having to be a quickie, and the bastard actually called me on it.
Hint.
Cougar Town.
Oh, you know what? I think I knew that that was going to be the show, but I don't know any character names. Nigel.
No, not right. That was Ellie. Ellie Torres.
Nigelly? Oh. No?
Close. All right, let's get a score break here, please.
Jessica has 3, Sarah has 4, I have 9.
Okay. So
I think you actually have 10, no?
I don't know. No, I
Let's
only
make it a real ass kicking.
Oh no, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah, we'll see if it matters at the end. Okay, Jessica.
Yes,
ma'am. This is a fork, ma'am. This is the new cornstarch fork, ma'am. This is a fork, ma'am. This is the new cornstarch fork.
I have no idea what this could humanly be. What show is this?
Veep.
Oh, okay. Oh shit. It's Tony Hale probably, and his character name is. I don't know. Buster Bluth. I don't know. What's his name on the show?
Gary.
Oh, I
Gary
don't even,
Walsh.
Is that even his name? That is Tony Hale, right?
Yes.
Okay, Tara.
Yep.
Don't sign that, Vince. They screwed it up. They got your eye color wrong.
Johnny Drama?
That's good!
Wow.
Jesus.
Oh,
jeez.
Right,
you are the
Sarah.
Master of the
Fuck
show.
Fuck me.
His given name is Nigel. Yes.
Look, if you're a successful saleswoman in this city, you have two choices. You can bang your head against the wall and try to find a relationship, or you can say screw it and just go have sex like a man. That's the first
hint.
Line of what
no,
character?
I think I know who that one is.
Did you say hint? Sex yes. in the City. What does that sound like from Sex in the City?
Samantha.
Uno point. All right, Jessica.
Yes.
I'm a growing girl.
Oh.
Dramedy section. I'm going to place this in. The dramedy section.
I'm a growing girl. I need the show.
Girls.
Hannah. All righty.
1 point. Tara.
Yep.
Yay.
I taught a class today. The finest school in Dade County. Two girls had shaved heads and three boys had green hair.
Dade County. What's the show?
Golden Girls.
Oh, Dorothy. Sorry, Sarah.
All right, Sarah, here's
Sarah,
your
one question.
Did you know it?
Gotten.
Did you know it before the clip? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Dade County.
Sorry. Die, commie bimbo.
Hint.
Married with children. And so it was the computer cut us off. A clue was given.
It was Married with Children. An answer was given.
It was Al Bundy.
It was not correct.
We buzzed.
The answer was Bud Bundy.
It was Bud Bundy. And everybody had a couple more questions, but it did not affect the outcome of the game. By this point, Tara, no. You were in the lead. You remained in the lead.
Correct.
At the end of the episode.
Yes.
Giving you two victories for this Game Time season. And I may add, the first Game Time we played was pretty close. And
it was very close. It was a real bummer that it got eaten by technology.
It did remind you by technology. So we're going to repurpose that maybe as a game the users can play, or if we ever have like two guests that aren't you guys, maybe they can play that game or something. We'll figure out a way to use it because it was a fun
game.
It was
a good game.
So that is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We did some stuff. We said goodbye to SoapNet. We braced ourselves for the Sound of Music. And we rolled up our sleeves for the new season of Best Ink.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Jessica. Hi, Jessica. Brought us Beverly Hills 90210's The Next 50 Years for the canon. Mm-hmm. And oh boy, did that get in, didn't it, Tara?
So hard.
Yeah. We did Around the Dial.
Yeah, we did.
Caught up on some important TV there. Sure, we crowned winners and losers of the week.
Yep.
And Tara, as we said, you were the winner of this week's Game Time.
Yay.
Yeah. So remember... I am David T. Cole. On behalf of you, Tara Ariano.
Which one is Scott?
And Sarah Bunting.
Dental school.
And Jessica Morgan.
Shoes!
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, right here on Extra Snafu Hot. No. Great. Meh.
So what'd you bring, D?
Surfboard wax. To symbolize the waves that have been pounding the shores for thousands of years, but really it's just a brief moment in time.